This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3326 for Monday, the 3rd of May 2021. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for April 2021 and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 80 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in April 2021.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today it's Community News for April 2021. Joining me this evening is...
Hello everybody, it's Dave Morris.
And HPR is Community Podcast Network. No, it's not. It's a community podcast that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. You're listening to HPR Community News that gives you all the news that's new and improved from the HPR community, including a rundown of this week's shows and, first of all, a rundown of the new hosts. Over to you, Dave.
Well, we have two new hosts, sort of. Anonymous host is sort of a placeholder for people who wish to remain anonymous. And we have a new real person host who is called Trey.
Excellent. I'm actually surprised that we didn't have anonymous host on there already. I thought... We definitely had that on Today with a Techie back in the early days. Mm. It was a lot more common to post anonymously.
Yeah, well, blame my algorithm then, because it thinks that this anonymous host is new for some reason. Rather.
No, it's fine. It is new because I went through and I couldn't find it. So, yeah, I think we posted as Creative Commons content or something.
Okay, fine.
Anyway, we'll cover that in a few moments. So let's go through all the shows for the last month because that's what we do. Starting with the news flash
for the 21st of January 2004. Apparently, yeah, quite impressive.
Exactly. So we'll need to. Obviously update the series of that to be the April Fool's series. So, oh, yes. And if anyone has any ideas for April Fool's shows, please get in touch with us with as much time as possible. I actually have an idea for one, but I'll contact somebody later about that. Alrighty. The following day, we had Nachios Part 2, Notification, SNMP, and Remote Checks. All kind of good stuff. This was a show by Norrist, and there was one comment. Do you want to take that one?
Yes, Kevin O'Brien says, adding my endorsement. I loved hearing the mention of my friend Michael W. Lucas. He's a great writer, and his technical books are awesome. I used his book on SSH as a resource when I did my shows on that topic. He also writes some pretty good fiction, such as Git Commit Murder.
Dun, dun, dun. Yes, very nice. I'm actually tempted to read that book.
Yeah, I forgot about it. I must give that a look.
So, on the HPR community news for last month, there were no comments because we didn't say anything controversial. So, we will try to do better this month.
Indeed.
And the next show was by Klaatu, Git Worktree, how to use Git Worktree. And this was an interesting one, actually, because I have a tendency to need to do this from time to time.
Yes. It does look like a useful addition. I imagine I didn't quite get how new it was. It seemed to be a fairly recent experimental feature. So it sounds like it's well worth delving further into. And Katja gave some great taster of what you do with it.
And show notes, very good show notes. I'm actually mm-hmm. shocked this is mm-hmm. coming from Plateau.
No comment.
No, not at all, not at all. So the next day we had Let's Talk About Thunderbird, some guy on the internet. And very good, actually. I was thinking, I've been using Thunderbird for years. What could I possibly learn from the show? And I actually set up a few rules in it, which is mm-hmm. based mm-hmm. on the show. So very good. Thanks.
Yes. He did make me. I did too. I've also used it a long time, and I've got hundreds of rules, and sometimes get lost in them. But he made me rethink some of them because the way the order is important, and also where they run in relation to spam checks is also important. And there's a lot to think about there. It was quite a good introduction to the things that you could be doing there. So, but I have to say, I do miss Procmail. Procmail will let you do so many more sophisticated things with your incoming mail than Thunderbird does. I wish there was, you could have an or expression in the same rule.
That's like why don't you set up Procmail to bring your inbox to a local folder and then pick it up from there?
Well, I could get everything into one IMAP folder and then point Thunderbird at it. Yeah. It's a thought that's crossed my mind, but
yeah. I think the reason for that you're not doing that is because Thunderbird doesn't natively support local folders. But I remember after the show, I was thinking, I could do something like that. But another thing you can do, I did a show some time back on having a local IMAP server, and you asked mm-hmm. the valid question, why would you mm-hmm. do that? And the answer was Thunderbird doesn't support local folders.
Yeah.
So you run your local IMAP server. And then,
I did at one point. I did at one point look at moving to Claws Mail, which does let you have local folders, and it takes different folder formats too. But I could never get that to really do what I wanted it to do. So I gave up. And and also Mutt. I looked at using Mutt, but that wasn't good enough compared to Thunderbird, I felt.
Yeah, I used Claws for a while, and it just absolutely crawled compared to Thunderbird.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
With I've got quite a lot of accounts and quite a large mailboxes.
Yeah,
well, they're not mailboxes; they're IMAP folders. So Henry says, some good tips. Thank you. I routinely encourage people to disable automatic image download for privacy reasons. Perfect. That's me, but never thought of your idea to habitually view emails in plain text. I'm going to do that. The idea of running rules before spam processing seems obvious. After you heard it, my spouse is continually losing important emails in the junk folder. Yep, there you go. You think? And I heard somebody, who I very much respect, saying that you shouldn't do a show. I'm not going to do a show because I think other people know more about the topic than I do. This is a show. Who else would have attempted to do a show on Thunderbird? And I'm so glad that this was submitted. Guys.
Yeah. People, absolutely.
Send in shows. Even if you think somebody else could do it, start the show with, I'm sure somebody else knows something more about this. So can you please do a response show to this episode? But I will tell you as much as I can about it. And this is what I would like you to know.
See, there's a mindset. This is not a criticism, but there is a sort of mindset that says, there's no point in doing a show unless it's groundbreaking and original and nobody else would know anything about it. Well, I spent most of my time on HBR doing stuff that you could work out for yourself. Not telling you anything very new, but just saying, I've found this stuff and I've read the man pages and this is how I understand it, and come back and tell me if I'm talking nonsense.
Absolutely. You know,
and that seems to me to be an extremely valid way of approaching the world.
Here is a good show that I would like to hear. And the show would be, here's a list of stuff I don't understand. Can somebody please tell me about this, about that, about the next thing? I think this is what this is about. Are you sure? Yeah. So,
yeah, that would be good.
Asking question shows are also valid shows. Think of HBR. Yes, it's a source of sharing knowledge. But your contribution could be to stir up the pool a bit so that more people will look in and go, hey, that's an interesting topic. That's an interesting topic. That's an interesting topic. Yeah, do this, people, please. Do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, the Thunderbird idea is a great one. I think we need more in this general area, personally. So, yeah, fantastic.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Yes, yes, yes. Following day, the guys are back with the big uncertainties in life and beyond. Two chaps discuss uncertainties and beyond in this episode on probal. Can you do that one? Probabilistic.
I was just reading it and going, what? No, probabilistic data structures, PDS. Is what they were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the Redis one and the hash functions and stuff like that. Yeah. It was interesting, actually.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. I suddenly now find I don't fully remember what it was, what it covered. And at the time, I thought, oh, this is interesting. I must look further, because I haven't. And so I'm sort of floundering slightly and thinking, I really need to learn more about this stuff. So yeah, it's cool. It was very cool.
Yeah, some good resources there as well. And the thing about their shows is you always think, hey, the two comedians are back, but then they do actually have some good content in their shows, believe it or not.
There's actually quite a lot
except
of depth.
The one that's coming up short.
There's quite a lot of depth in what these guys cover. It's just that they tend to be very flippant about it, and sometimes flippancy overrides the seriousness, which to me, I'd assume it was more serious than flippant, but you know, it's just a matter of taste. So good for them for doing what they do.
Excellent. So now, speaking about Thunderbird, here's another chap who is doing the same thing with GIMP, going through each option essentially and telling us how all this stuff works. And as always, some very good resources in a hookah show on layer masks. Dum, 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 dum.
Yep. I keep saying that, leave myself notes to say, get more into GIMP because it looks pretty damn cool from what hookah's telling us. I haven't done it yet.
Well, my desire is like just to wait a while until he's finished and then get the PDF of it. What is that in the comments for the show about the PDF thing? That's in the mail thread, which we get.
I think it was mail, wasn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the following was submitted by an anonymous host, Bradley M. Coon's article from 2019 on Richard M. Stallman. And should we do the comments first? And then there were a few comments, one or two on this.
yes.
You do the first one, then I can reply in my own words.
Okay.
My own reply.
Yep. I was just absorbing because there's a lot there. Brian in Ohio says, bravery. Agree or disagree with RMS, at least he does not hide his beliefs behind the moniker Anonymous.
To which Ken Fallon replied, a long history of supporting anonymous posts. Hi, Brian in Ohio. The only requirement for posting to HBR is that the show is of interest to hackers and it isn't spam and meets our licensing terms. There is no requirement to be personally identified on HBR. While some contributors like myself use their real names, others like yourselves use handles instead. I'm sure most of those who use handles do not do so to hide their identity, but some might. Anyway, it's a moot point anyway, because we know Bradley N. Coon was the author of the show. We don't know who posted it, and I don't particularly care. They could have posted under the show under a fake username, and we would never know. There are quite a lot of shows posted that were controversial at the time and have been submitted by a host that never posted again. I feel that posting under the anonymous username is more honest. It alerts the HPR community to the lack of implicit trust that comes from with a fake real name. It also means less work for the janitors, as we don't need to create new users. In any event, Hacker Public Radio has long supported and will continue to support anonymous posts, comments, and other forms of interactions. We do this for many reasons, not least of which is freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is not always without cost.
Yes, yes. Okay. Rito says, RMS, hi. First of all, this TTS, text-to-speech voice, is terrible. I can hardly understand it. The one used by HPR is much better. Secondly, if I hear more information where I get the impression that it's totally on one side, I want to hear the other side in order to build my opinion. It took me 20 minutes to find it, the other side. Looks like the internet tries to hide it, and there's a link to a Debian community site. Have you seen the episode of The Orville where your reputation and punishment is based on public opinion rather than from a court? It was scary. While this was fiction, does it now become reality, and do you support this? Just some thoughts on what's going on here.
And I replied to that comment. Hi, Rito. The text-to-speech engine used is eSpeak, and it's available on many Linux distros. It is relied upon by thousands with visual impairments and those with reading disabilities, including myself. You must be new to HPR, as we've been using eSpeak for years and have only recently been able to negotiate a contract with Lynn, text2wav/festival, after her non-compete agreements with the Lot of Links.com podcast expired. Nobody else is going to, very few people are going to get that joke, but okay. Unfortunately, the site you posted left me wanting when it came to hearing the other side of the story. It's not actually affiliated to Debian at all. It's a site somebody else has put up in response to Debian. But that's a by the way. But as you say, it is difficult to find accurate information on the internet sometimes, especially one that's reliable and trustworthy. I would always suggest you go to the source of truth first. In this case, it's best to start with Richard Stallman and the Free Software Foundation itself. And sure enough, on the main Free Software Foundation page, there are two articles, one entitled Statement of the FSF Board on the Election of Richard Stallman, with a link, and another, RMS Addresses the Free Software Community, also with a link. We have interviewed RMS in episode 0271 and episode 1116, so it would be great to get him on again to discuss this. Can you reach out to him and or the Free Software Foundation to see if they would be interested in recording another interview? Be sure to mention that we only use free software in recording and that it can be released under a Creative Commons by NCSA if desired. Side note, that's the one RMS prefers. And I think the whole not released in MP3 thing is no longer a problem, but if it is, we can and have deal with that as well. In the meantime, I will put together a similar show to this using their statements and post it as a counter to this show. And then I have links, so you can do Bezos.
Yep. Bezos says, Richard Stallman, few of us are so synonymous with the organization we work for that any controversial remarks we make in public are likely to do lasting damage to the reputation of said organization, especially if we were to subsequently resign and remain silent afterwards. That's not the case with RMS and with regards to the FSF. He will forever be associated with the free software movement and by implication, the FSF. On that basis, engineering his resignation on the strength of his comments on social and political issues did nothing to protect the reputation of the free software movement. All it achieved was to salve the consciences of other FSF board members. How damaged was the free software movement anyway? Most people outside the Floss world have never heard of RMS, so his sometimes distasteful, sometimes thought-provoking views would have no bearing on their decisions to adopt open source software. People in the Floss world know RMS for his eccentricities along with his visionary genius. I suspect that while many publicly feign shock at his outburst, for most it's just RMS being RMS, followed by an attempt to get any images conjured up by some of his ideas out of their heads. If the FSF fundamentally stands for anything, it's freedom. So to sideline somebody for exercising their right to personal opinions and free speech seems a bit incongruous. Given that getting rid of RMS was never going to distance the FSF from him, it would have been better to have taken the view, even in the form of public statements if necessary, that other FSF board members abhor some of his views on non-technical matters, but totally support his right to hold and express those views. In these days of cancel culture, when people are dismissed from jobs or printed or prevented from speaking in public for fear of what they might say, it would have been a refreshing change to see an organization defending the right to free speech instead of just taking the path of least resistance.
Okay. Torao, what's up, you right?
I would say so, yes.
Says Stallman. Nobody is saying Stallman can't say having consensual, in quotes, sex with 12-year-old doesn't harm the kid. But nobody who isn't actually brain damaged would defend it, nor is anybody actually forced to associate with him because of, quotes, free speech. It doesn't violate any free speech to say you can believe whatever despicable things you want. You can advocate for any despicable thing you want, but nobody else is obliged to support you or be allied with you. It is not cancel culture. It is being responsible for the ignorance of if he spews culture. As for how the Free Software Foundation is damaged by it, look at how many organizations pull their support. Nobody is bigger than any organization unless the organization allows itself to be succumbed to a cult personality. It rarely works out well. Part of the reason the Free Software Foundation is useless is because they have allowed themselves to be so beholden to a useless, repugnant toad like Stallman, who pushes a majority of people away. If you want an idea to grow, it helps not to be led by somebody who intentionally spews reprehensible nonsense that pushes everybody else away. Stallman is toxic. Excuse for a human being. You want Floss to have a chance to grow? Question. Don't let it be led by a guy who intentionally says things that are considered morally repugnant by the majority of the public.
C. Fish says, the responsibility of leadership. I've been a GNU Linux user for around 2.5 years now and have been a fan of RMS for much of that time. I've heard about people thinking Stallman is kind of weird, but chalked it up to differences in political opinion or his refusal to meet people where they are. This is my first time hearing about some of his gross opinions. As a leader in the free software movement, he should not be turning people away with these opinions. To be perfectly clear, I stand with the survivors of sexual assault, and I stand with anyone who has put their trust in the supervision of an adult who would betray that trust for sexual gratification. The GNU Linux community is a better place when we treat each other respectfully and with compassion. We don't need any one person in our community as much as we need the community itself.
Okay, shall we move on or do you have comments?
Let's move on.
And right there, Dave, you may have comments, but those might reflect on HPR. So sometimes it's best not to comment.
Indeed.
COVID doldrums. Oh yeah, Mr. X and Dave. God, that was deep. That was heavy. That was a heavy heavy thing. Yeah. But yeah, had to be said, I suppose. COVID doldrums. Mr. X and Dave Morris have a chat over Mumble in these trying times. Like these shows, Dave.
Yes, we have fun doing them. We would tend to go on a little bit too long, perhaps. But,
nope.
But no, you don't. We quite enjoy the chat.
This is essentially my social life now. Is like I reserve these ones for when I can be pottering about in the garden or something, and it's like I'm actually talking to humans.
It's my yeah, social interaction. I know it's a bit like a chat in the pub or something like that, and and some of these have been chats in the pub indeed. I'm glad if people enjoy it, but it's quite fun to do. So we're probably going to carry on doing it as much as we can.
So the next day, Tojet sent a little tip there on Zoom updates, as they're in order to automate the update of Zoom if you're required to use that on your computer. I don't really, but there you go.
No, me neither. But it's
no, I lie, actually. I am using it as well. I'm using every form of stuff. So I actually might. Well, so far it's not broken anything. I don't think I'm using a lot of the functionality and just listening to a discussion and then signing off.
Yep, yep. Well, being retired, I don't have to do any of this sort of stuff. I just join the odd Jitsi thing from time to time. But yeah. But yeah, it's good. It's good. I was interested in the way he was approaching this update. So it was good to learn these sorts of things.
Trey joined us. Now, let's have a look to see what sort of additional shows we can have him send in. Yes. I found the BBS bulletin board systems quite interesting that he was on about. And the fact that he had a Commodore 64, which is my first foray into computers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, it's always fascinating to hear how people have approached these things, I must admit. I didn't really get into this sort of stuff because I was already into a mainframe.
You had real computers, Dave.
Yeah.
You were looking down your nose, admitting the likes of Trey there.
I would just
trying to
come
scrape
home
together
and
some cash, and you're going, hey, I've got a government-funded supercomputer here behind me.
I would just come home and say, I've had enough computers, I don't want any more. Though that changed as time went on. But it was just a different viewpoint. But it's always good to hear how people got to where they are and what they've made of the journey too. This is fascinating.
Yeah, that's cool. Good stuff. Also a ham, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. I have plans, Dave. I have plans. So the following day we had a throwaway show from me about the Terasact optical character recognition show, and I think this might be one of the low quality throwaway shows that was commented upon, but you know what, I go back to these because I do there's a certain number of stuff that I do so infrequently that I forget how to do it every time, and it's a learning experience, and I think I'll at least I'll have it on HPR, and then I'll be able to go back and search on the tags folder and search for OCR and be able to find the show where I did this on. So
no, I found it most interesting. I knew nothing about this, so it was good to hear that it exists and that you're using it and all this stuff. It's quite sophisticated for a command line tool like this. Yeah, it looks good.
As I said, I have a manual that I got physically, and there is a new reader version of it somewhere, but I'm not able to get access to that. So I scanned the whole thing and then ran this over it, and yeah, it's absolutely, you know, 99% okay, more even.
Yeah, that's wonderful. As somebody who's currently in the throes of clearing my attic, for various reasons, but plumbing issues. But the amount of paper in that attic is horrendous, and not all of it's printed, but a good amount of it is. And having some means of turning it into the bits I want to keep, turning them into electronic form would be great. So this is something that made my ears prick up. It might be something I could use. Yeah.
I've done, because of the renovation, we're getting rid of lots of stuff in the house as well. So a lot of the stuff is scan and go, you know, where the old school books from the kids and stuff, they don't want to throw anything in the way. But if you say you can scan and go it, then that's useful.
Well, same here with children's school books and that type of stuff. So, yeah, that's a good message.
Yeah, rather than, when I'm leaving the house, you know, horizontally, they can, rather than have to deal with thousands of boxes of books and stuff, you know, here's a USB stick and all your crap from when you were kids is on there.
Yeah. We're very, very disturbed. And my daughter's been helping me a lot, actually. She's job hunting at the moment, so she's got a fair bit of spare time. So she's been coming over and helping me lug boxes out of the attic and that sort of stuff. But between us, we're astonished at how much, well, crap is probably the word. It's been, what do we do with this? Well, I just stuff it in the back of the attic.
Yeah.
We'll come to it. And now we're arriving at this stuff. We're going to have plumbers in there this week, which next week, I mean, who need to be laying pipework and this sort of stuff. So it has to be pretty clear. So, you know, it's a lot of stuff's getting moved. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then another anonymous coward posted free software foundation and RMS on the election of RMS Stallman's. So two of those statements, statement from the board and a statement from RMS and some subsequent comments. But nobody commented on that one. And that was posted by me, as I said.
Anonymously, of course.
Posted by me anonymously. So,
yes. No, it's good to see this on HBR because it concentrates the various discussions that are going on, which you might miss. And it's nice to have somebody sort of doing an editorial type approach to it. So I appreciated this, I have to say.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people have, yeah, it's a difficult, how will I say this? You know, we met RMS in a Fosdem, and we attended a lecture, and the whole thing about him picking his, you know, the man became more obvious to me as, you know, the nutty professor sort of thing. But on the other hand, you can't argue with the fact that he does. A lot of people might say, yeah, that's just RMS when he does, you know, eat his does stuff that might not be socially acceptable, as he says himself. He may, he may be on the spectrum somewhere. But then again, as somebody who's on the spectrum myself, I feel there's a responsibility to make sure that you, it's a tiring thing, making sure that you are respectful to other people and you don't let your inability, your difficulties interacting socially with other people interfere or make them feel uncomfortable. That's not really a good excuse. And I would suggest there's an argument that an organization that doesn't, you know, do the proverbial, you know, call you aside here and go, you know, Ken, that wasn't really the nicest thing to say there to that person. Might be an idea to nip over and apologize. And there have been a few times here in HPR where I've done stuff and I feel that we've lost members of the community as a result of that. And I can only apologize for that sort of stuff. So, again, as you say, you have to be, it's not an excuse. But it is, yeah, it was worth reading. If you read one, read the other.
Absolutely, yeah. It's quite an interesting insight.
Yeah, doesn't take away from the fact the great works he has achieved, but at the same time, I would say that there's also a responsibility on everybody around him to make sure it's a welcoming place for people. And maybe people weren't as supportive of him as they should be. I think with kids especially, you know, just because there's your cause and effect, and you, yeah. Letting somebody get away with stuff for too long makes it more difficult. It's better to deal with it before it comes an issue.
Mm-hmm. Appropriate guidance can help a lot in these circumstances, I feel. And sometimes people... I actually follow a guy on YouTube who does a series called Asperger's from the Inside. I know Asperger's is not the term that's used much. Well, yeah. And he's very, very insightful. He does quite a lot of advice to people about all manner of issues relating from it. And, you know, there's a lot of advisory stuff. And his view is, you know, the condition leads to non-standard viewpoints and behaviors, which can seem strange and can sometimes even be a little bit jarring or even offensive to others. But you know, his view seems to be that you being aware of it is an important thing to be able to achieve, and also therefore to modify. He says it costs a lot for the person.
Yeah, costs energy. Energy. Absolutely.
there's no reason why you couldn't live in society in general doing self modification. But if you have friends around you who say, it's maybe not the best thing to, you know, I don't think I would take that approach if I were you, sort of thing, then so much the better.
I follow him as well, and quite a lot of the things that he says, particularly in the front one, was very much from an ecocentrical point of view. I need this and I need that. That's one of the issues, one of the few issues that I have with his show, is that it's more about him. But nobody is, no man is an island. I am a fucking Ibiza. no one is an island as such. So, like it or not, I mean, you could nip off to the island somewhere, buy an island in the middle of nowhere, and that's grand. But, you know, then you arrive and you got a dentist, you got a sore tooth. You know, what are you going to do then? Mm-hmm, we need people. No. And we even this lockdown thing, you know, for the autistics among us, it's like, great, what do you mean? Like, I get to sit behind my computer and not interact with anyone. But you still do need contact, and you need peer review, and you need peer acceptance. And, you know, there may be a reason why there's so many gray-bearded guys in the free software community, is because, you know, if you happen to be anything else and you... you know, how welcoming is that? You know, if you reminds me of the time I went and did yoga for in a community hall at one stage. That it was very welcoming, but at the same time, it wasn't very. There weren't many other people like me in the room, so to speak. Yeah.
Anywho, yes. Mm-hmm. Being out of step with the world.
After saying I wasn't going to say anything about this, then I ended up saying quite a lot of it. Okay, there you go. The views, my views and Dave's views, do not necessarily represent the views of HPR as a whole. We are just two cats on the internet. Actually, we'd be probably more like a cow, to be honest. But that's
fine. Pick yourself, Jim.
Yeah. Reading a manifesto towards a cooperative technology movement by Clacke. Let's read some of the comments on this. I don't know if this was related to the other two shows. What was the timing of this? Do you know?
I don't know, actually. I had assumed that this was something that was happening in the overspill or in the context of all of the other stuff.
You know, we haven't actually explained what was in those. What has happened was that RMS, during the Me Too movement, Harvey Weinstein's, one of his acquaintances, who was an acquaintance of RMS, was implicated in some sort of thing, and RMS made a comment, and that was taken by somebody else, and then as a result public opinion kind of focused on RMS, and he resigned from the Free Software Foundation, and then without consultation, which I think a lot of people found rather annoying, he was reinstated to the board. And as a result of that, a lot of people, a lot of organizations recently have distanced themselves from the Free Software Foundation. And in the thing, in the shows that we mentioned, the Free Software Foundation themselves and RMS himself has said that improvements need to be made and that they have seen the errors of their ways, et cetera, et cetera. So That's a synopsis. A very bad synopsis, no doubt. This bloke. Okay, I don't want to make too light of it because there's a very serious, lot of serious issues coming up there, and it's not funny at all, not pleasant.
But it's it's hard to summarize in a concise way. I think it's not for quite some time in the future. You imagine it would be easy to do that.
Anyway, Klake says errata. Apparently, the term open source was not quite coined at that meeting described in the opensource.com article. People had been using it in a software context, not just well-known military intelligence context, sometime before then, and a link to the article.
Okay, interesting. Yes. Seafish says, great show. Thanks for this. I knew there were people in FOSS who felt the way I do, but this is the first time hearing about a public declaration.
Kevin O'Brien says, fantastic show. My great thanks to Klake for posting this. I think this manifesto is a great contribution to the discussion of free software. If free software is not respecting of people, what good is it?
Yeah. Klake says, a season for manifestos. There has been a lot of bubbling out there in the free software world since a decade or more, and it's recently coming to the surface. I have two more of these readings coming out as soon as I've put together the background material. And he provides a couple of links that point to some of the things he's talking about.
And Kevin says, clearing it up. Glad to hear it, Klake. I look forward to your shows. See what he did there. Very good.
Yes.
Funneling is Ken. Modding a Wii Classic with a DNS exploit. That sounds very elite, doesn't it? Only elite people would do that. One of which was myself. SD card and USB stick. What threw me for a loop was that there's an SD card, VFAT, that goes in the front, and then there's a USB stick that goes in the back, and that can be EXT2 or NTFS. Other than that, it worked as described.
And Archer72 says, re-SD card and USB stick. Good to know that this worked for you as well. I think original YouTube post was meant for backup for a ton of games. In most cases, this will not be needed because the games don't take much room anyway.
Yeah. So that was part of my cleanup exercise to get rid of game CD-ROMs and have it all on the USB stick.
Oh, sounds good.
And also, you don't have to unload them and reload them. You just go to there. Following day, Linux in Laws, Political and Artificial Intelligence, Part 1. And there was one comment on that, which was from me. AI is misleading. AP would be better. I always thought that artificial intelligence is misleading. Artificial programming would better describe what's going on.
It's a good point, actually. It's a very good point. It's one of these terms that I think goes way back. I'm sure others could tell me better, but things like the early days of Lisp and the Eliza thing, which you'd talk to it and it came back with what looked like meaningful responses. I'm sure that was being talked about as some sort of artificial intelligence, in the sense that, you know, there was all manner of cleverness. It wasn't. It was amazingly stupid, I think, in many respects. But clever, yeah, effectively. So I've always been suspicious of the term myself.
Yeah, I think if you were sitting in a car, right, and you were told, yeah, don't worry, artificial intelligence is going to bring you from A to B. Or if you were sitting in a car and artificial programming is going to bring you from A to B, one of them you'd go, oh, well, this is fantastic, artificial intelligence. It's magic fairy dust. Whereas artificial programming, we go, hold on now, where's the big red button?
Yeah. I've seen your programming before. The guy who locks the door and doesn't let me open it again because of X, Y, and Z not being true and all those sorts of things. Yeah. I know. It's hype, isn't it? It's being oversold, I feel.
Yeah, well, we do that. But it ain't. It's artificial programming. Nothing that we're doing now is as yet intelligence. It's coming up with a better algorithm is just the computer has programmed a better program. We're not at the point where, you know, it's intelligence yet.
Sure. The way in which the software is structured, where it effectively builds itself through the sort of methodologies they were talking about, is amazing. But that doesn't make it intelligent, not by my reckoning, anyway.
No, and what you're doing is you're going through iterations of programs. If you thought of artificial intelligence and described it for what it is, you have the computer, this is where you want to go, and then you write a whole go of programs, a whole go of if statements in there, and then you come up to the best solution for over there, and then you feedback in the results so that you keep honing the program that you're writing to give better results. At the end of the day, you end up with a program that you can program onto another chip, and then it can recognize a cat. So yeah, that's what it is. It's artificial programming. It's very simple. You have a program, right? Hundreds of programs and it picks the best one.
Yeah. A lot of it is iterative, sort of an evolutionary mechanism. Well, that one's rubbish, throw it away or kill it.
Yeah.
You see it. That one looks a bit better. We'll keep that one going.
But, you know, which is going to get more grant funding, the artificial intelligence or the artificial programming?
Yep. I know. Like I say, it's hype.
So the next day we had YouTube channels for learning Spanish, part 2. So this is good. I don't actually want to learn Spanish. I want to learn Polish. I want to learn Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn Polish. And I could do a brushing up on my Irish.
I quite like to learn French properly, but otherwise.
It's fine, Dave. You're not going to be allowed out anymore. You're stuck in that island.
Yes, probably, yeah.
Oh, yes, back in the day. Do you want to read R&B's?
I will. And he comments on listening to Twit podcasts. He says, how I listen to the Twit Network podcasts. Many MP3 players and podcast apps on your phone have a sleep timer. Get in an easy chair, lean it all the way back, cover up nice and cozy, turn your volume down until before you can't understand what they're talking about. Set the sleep timer for about 12 minutes. My podcasting app will turn the volume down even more the last 30 seconds, so it's not an abrupt shut off. Now you're ready for the best nap you've had in a long time. My MP3 player is an old Moto E3, he says.
Exactly. That's why we blast the HBR theme tune at the end. Just as you're falling asleep.
Wake up!
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da! Yes.
Indeed.
Very good. DNS66, you random. I talk about DNS66 and go over some comments from the you random episode. And Taj says, mission accomplished. The you random podcast, sprawling HPR episodes and seamless promotion simultaneously since 2021. Seriously though, great job. I have a much better understanding of DNS66 after I listened to this. Good job.
Yeah. But I liked this show very much. I thought he was, he said, oh, I'm just doing this off the cuff or something to that effect. Yet it seemed to be really insightful and full of information. So I found that, found it quite fascinating.
Yep. Very, very good. Tattoo sent us in one about Tuned D. And I remember I was on a bike doing this one. It was about power performance for laptops and scripts that he had for said.
Mm-hmm.
I think, does that link work now or not?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah. Power Top, yes, LinuxCon 2015. Yeah. I did try that. I completely forgot to then follow up and say, do anything about the failure of it. Yeah.
I think it'll be for the last time.
I was going to suggest we look at the Wayback Machine, see if that's got a better link. I completely forgot.
Not to self. So on the 28th, we had another one from Klaatu, an alternative internet you never knew existed. And a non-brief introduction to OpenNIC, the Open and Democratic Domain Name and Number Registry. And I was thinking to myself, what's preventing somebody from registering a domain that's already on the internet, on the main, main DNS, and the existing DNS, and then overriding this? So like mybank.com, is OpenNIC allowed to do .com domain names, or do they have to be ones that are not registered on the generic DNS? Well, otherwise, I thought this was interesting.
Yeah, I briefly looked at it, at the website for it, and they seemed, this is my reading of it, which may be wrong, but they manage a subset of TLDs effectively. Mm-hmm. So they're not three letters anymore, but yep. that are specific to them, you know, like .geek was the one that I remember. So presumably only they have access to that TLD, but I don't know.
But then why don't they, if that was the case, then they could register that as being the owners on the main DNS keys for those, publish that they're the owners for those. Or I need to look up this more, because I actually like the idea. Do like the idea of just putting up a domain name.
Yeah, it would be fun to do something like that, and it seems a lot less hassle than the other route. I was quite taken with it, but I didn't have time to. I'm cleaning my attic, by the way.
Yeah, I've heard my daughter.
That was my daughter just coming in the house to give me to go and do some stuff for me. So
she's on my "You Owe Me a Show" list, if I recall.
she's never done a standalone show. I've chatted to her on HBO, but yeah. When she gets a job, she might. I don't know. I shouldn't say anything like that, should I? Because I'm not committing my daughter to anything. She commits herself to stuff.
Exactly. But and also I'd be worried that if you had a, like on this OpenNIC thing, you had like a ken.geek domain name, and then somebody with a big wallet decides to set up the .geek on their domain, you know, on the main DNS, and pay the ICANN for a entry there, and then suddenly all your domains now are being rerouted to somebody else, so the trust that was built up. That's something that I didn't feel was addressed, and look forward to Klaatu addressing those in the next show on the topic.
Yes. It's intriguing, but it does sound like a great idea and well worth digging deeper, I think.
Yes. So the following day we had podcast recommendations. It's actually in privacy and security. I'm wondering, should it be in podcast recommendations? Oh, yes, money penny. Pity we can't put more than one show into more than one series, Dave, isn't it?
Yeah. We have design issues here. Yes.
Who's due to do the
I think
comments?
It's my turn, isn't it? I don't recall. So we have a message from Zoak, who says, grr. I assume that's how you pronounce that. Well, now I have to do a reply episode on my favorite InfoSec podcast, he says. So, yes.
Excuse me. Sorry for coughing into the microphone there.
I think he just stood up and waved his hand in our general direction. So expecting a show any moment now.
Get up my list here. And that was Trey's second episode, if I recall. Yeah.
Good. It was.
And a series.
It was great.
Oh, he's pressing all the buttons there, Dave.
Yeah, I made the notes in my notes here that I really liked the way he did the episode. Both of his episodes are really well done, actually. So good for him. Excellent.
And the following day, which was still in the fourth month, which is April. Mm-hmm. We have Games and Rules, talking about the conundrum of rules light and rules heavy game systems. With tattoo, rules, trust, or competition. Pick two.
Mm-hmm.
This was an interesting insight into how you can do tabletop gaming, which, since I've started learning more about tabletop gaming, realized that it's just an excuse to wrap mats in a story.
Probably, yes, yes. It's
come here, kids.
Intriguing. It's intriguing, yes. But it's it's a popular thing, so good stuff.
That's good. Okay, I think that was it, if I'm not mistaken.
That is it, yes.
What do we do now, Dave?
Well, there's some comments from previous shows that we could do.
We could do that, yes.
There was, shall I start this one off? There was a comment on Hooker's show talking about Audacity, and Brother Mouse, who's a name from long ago in HBR history, says, I use SOX in Linux scripts to automate stuff like speeding up audio, removing long periods of silence, etc. And there's an example of how you might use SOX to change the speed of a piece of audio. So
yeah,
which is cool.
Yes, that's part of the HPR transcode script, in actual fact.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, I learned how to do this from a show that you did some time ago.
Thank you.
Do this all the time to a lot of my podcasts. Speed them up a bit. Not too fast, because my brain is old and doesn't go that fast. But yes, it's amazingly useful.
I am looking around the room here because there's mosquitoes. And I need to send them to a better place. Ron says, this was a relation to Spam Bot Honeypot, which was a show by Ron. And RTSN says, nice, very interesting episode. I didn't know about this technique. I guess there is an irony in that by publishing, the spam bot makers might eventually get round to implementing ways to defeat this in the long run. Would love a follow-up episode on this, how it worked out over time and such. Keep up the good fight, and thanks for the episode.
Very good. Then we had a show by Operator on the Kerbal Space Program game, and yeah. Aaron B. said, have you seen XKCD about Kerbal? And he gives the link to the XKCD comic, which I looked at, but I'm afraid I've forgotten what it contained.
So it's like a graph that grows from the bottom slowly up and down and up and down, and then shoots up So it starts with took high school physics, it goes up a bit, got a physics degree, goes up and kind of levels off. Actual job at NASA kind of goes up and then tails off and goes down. Started playing Kerbal Space Program and it shoots up and it says, how well I understand orbital mechanics.
That's great. That's great. I listened to a few astronomy podcasts and I've heard people on there talking about Kerbal Space Program and how much what an insight it gives you to that particular subject. You know, why would this asteroid or spacecraft or piece of space debris do the thing that it does? And yes, you should check it out on Kerbal Space Program. You might well see. So yeah, I'm intrigued by that. Now, there's a comment here. I'm just mentioning this because my algorithm said that you would have read that last week because it was last month because it came out before the show last week. And but I don't know. Does that ring a bell with you? Should we read it anyway?
Read it anyway, sure.
So, do you want me to do it?
Yeah, far ahead.
Brian Ohio shows on Slackware on Raspberry Pi. Zenfloater says, bravo, an excellent show, sir. Someday I will try and put Slackware 13 on my older Chromebook.
You go to, just on that previous comment, I realize a lot of people might not be of our visual impaired listeners and hosts. If you go to www.explainxkcd.com, they give you a transcript of every single XKCD image, making it completely accessible, and then wow. They also explain it. So it's sometimes his stuff is very, very deep, and and I need to go there and follow up. They have also an RSS feed, so I usually view the XKCD comic first, and then a few days later they'll come out with a with an explained version, and then you can get that there. So
that's amazing. Oh yeah, yeah. I must definitely follow that one up. That sounds great.
So let's have a look. This month's comments we've already covered, and then we go to the mail list. Quite our month on the mail. And the mail. Oh, God. PDF files. Kevin O'Brien said, Ken mentioned wanting PDF files for his tutorials I've done. While the ultimate solution may require some work, I made a stopgap solution to install a WordPress plugin and put a button on each page that says save as PDF. It works pretty well, but it does put a watermark on each page that says demo. I will figure out something better at some point, but anybody who wants a PDF can get one now. Just use the link in the show notes to get the page URL and look at the bottom of the page for the blog post. And you've got a perm address page for each post. My longer range plan is to have a book for the collection of tutorials, such as LibreOffice Writer is one book, LibreOffice Calc is another, GIMP is the third, and so on. And I'll probably get an episode out of that process. And this is me again. I would be very disappointed, Kevin, if you didn't.
Yes, yes. Klaatu replies to that by pointing out another method using curl to grab the HTML, putting it through pandoc to convert from HTML to markdown, then doing some said magic on it and generating PDF out the end of it. So if you know enough about pandoc and CSS, you could apply any number of styles during the PDF processing, he says. Otherwise, the default formatting is pretty nice. So that's a cool answer.
Yeah, Jeroen says, who's been known to convert stuff in his day, I'd be more than happy to convert any material to ASCII doc and thus be able to generate HTML, PDF, EPUB files. Also, the source can be Git controlled, says Jeroen. Me again here. I was thinking, actually, because I've run into a problem on my own WordPress blog, and this is presumably Kevin's hosted one, and presumably he has access to the database. And I've been looking at options there to take the database and basically export it from HTML, from the WordPress HTML into markdown. So if I have any success at that, then it will be a show at some point. Sleep 20 days. 20 days, 20 years, possibly.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting subject, a very interesting subject. Should I say that I've been chatting with Andrew Conway about this mm-hmm. subject, who is the author of a book which is currently available on Amazon called How Scotland Works, which has been produced through Markdown and PDF and stuff. And we've done a couple of shows recorded but not yet ready, talking about what he's done and me talking about some of the stuff I've been planning to do and stuff. So it seems to me there's a whole area of
fantastic
discussion that one could have across the whole of HBR about how people are doing this sort of thing. And I know there's a lot of expertise in this area.
Excellent. There was a call for shows. There continues to be a call for shows because we need shows all the time. 260 shows a year, guys. 260 shows a year. And then there was an article by Hedora, perhaps.
That's how I would pronounce it, yes.
And I'm only going to read the first part, the first one in the thread, for reasons we will just explain later. And I said, a nice article on about HPR with a valid question at the end and a link to the post. So the post is still available. A link will be in show notes. And the reason we are not covering the rest of the discussion is because the discussion isn't over as yet. And if you are if you are a member of the HPR community, which you are by listening to this, then you read the article and follow on the thread, excuse me, that's listed in the show notes, and feel free to give your comments on some of the fundamental philosophies and ideologies behind HPR. And once all that's done, Dave and I will record another show in a week or two and submit that as a HBR show in its entirety, reading everybody's comments individually. Possibly even with funny accents, Dave.
That's what I always do. What are you talking about? Yes.
Yes. Then we had the Digest ones are related to that article. And then we have the community news, which is kind of pointless now because you're too late. And then we have tattoos on. Do you want to read that?
All right, just click on it. Excuse me. During May, the HBR RPG Club is going to play Stalking the Night Fantastic, an X-Files or Avengers British one style game created and set in 1983. This is a game of intrigue, investigation with some light Lovecraftian horror elements, nothing you wouldn't find in a 1930s story. Note, says Klaatu, I run games that are ardently all ages, but if you have concerns or triggers you want to alert me of ahead of time, please do email me privately. This is just a game, so I'm happy to avoid topics you don't find fun. As always, you are invited to this game, whether you have experience with tabletop role-playing games or not. We're an inclusive group whose main goal is to have fun and make friends. And there's details about the date and time. And there's a comment here, a bit about Stalking the Night Fantastic. This is an obscure one. It was published with plastic spiral binding back in 83 and has the arguably clunky mechanics you might expect from a game developed only a few years after the medium of RPGs was invented. We will build characters together during the first game session. I'm attaching some photos of my copy just for the sake of its old school charm.
Yep. The links don't seem to work.
Mailman does this wonderful thing where it says, "Ooh, you've got attachments on this mail. I will just remove them for you." But I think the
message. Oh yeah, well, you can see the images all right. Yeah.
It's fine if you look at the message. You can't, but when you look at the stuff in the archive, you can't see it. I'm looking at the archive. Okay. So
And I was recently on one of those, and it was very interesting and quite a lot of fun, I must say. But I will skip this one. And you know what I miss? I actually think I would love to have more of these games, the games actually on HBR. That would be nice.
They're quite fun to listen to, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. What else? Let's go back. What are we doing then?
We're probably too early events. For events in the events calendar. I haven't actually looked. I have to
say. Yeah, nothing much coming up. Everything's online anyway, so you can do it there.
Any other business?
Yeah, do you do the first one? I'll do the next one.
Okay, Booth Kit update. The FSF Europe have sent us a selection of stickers and leaflets to add to our booth kits.
Yep, so booth kits, for those of you who are not aware, we have a kit in the US and we've got a kit in the UK and another one here in the Netherlands, kind of spread over, I think. And basically it contains stickers, HBR stickers and posters and banners and the like, that if we're ever going to open air events or events, Hamfests or Linux Fests or that bar camps and that sort of thing, if they ever start up again, then we can go as HPR and represent the community of free or open source podcasting. And the next one is posting anonymously, seeing as it came up. How you can post anonymously to HPR is as simple as going to open download Tor browser, which actually I've started using, Dave, to start reading news sites, because it is impossible to turn off cookies on news sites. So I'm using that now instead. Anyway, sign up for a temporary email address, and I put in a link to some disposable email address sites on Wikipedia. You click a slot, get a confirmation email, and post as you would normally. But you can also add a note to us to say you're posting this anonymously. So that's that. Just excellent. Call it call your user anonymous user, and then the email address will be the email address. Yep.
Cool. So so my two topics are the what I'm calling older HPR shows on archive.org. And so back in the day, I think I've been doing archive.org upload since about 2014. Does that seem likely? But anyway, it's a long time. So part of what I've been doing was to go backwards and upload older HBR shows, but I got a bit stalled with that, and it's been that bit of the project's been quiescent for a few years. I upload the new ones as they become available. But so the shows between 1 and 870 have not been uploaded to archive.org prior to last month. There were some that were uploaded in the early days, but they were uploaded as a couple of batches. They didn't have any notes or anything, just the audio. So what I've been doing includes the audio, obviously, and also the notes and any other files, pictures, and that sort of stuff. However, I've restarted the old show project, that I'm calling it, this month or last month, after having to write some new software to manage it all. And I should say, it's not written down here, but there's a question from Clacke asking, why is show blah, blah, blah not on archive.org? Ah, yeah, right, okay. Time to kick somebody up the backside and make it work, and I did a self-kicked. So since that point, I've actually managed to upload 65 shows in that range. So I've done everything from 700 from 800 to 870 since I restarted the project. And that includes the notes and the range of audio formats that we use for current shows. So WAV, the FLAC, the MP3, the ORG, etc.
All properly tagged as well.
Indeed, yes. We're making a big fuss about the tag. So we don't want to upload shows that don't have summaries and tags. So the two projects of tags and uploads are tied together. So we'll be all the more welcoming of contributions to the tag and summary project, which is the next topic I'll get to in a minute. And I plan to report the numbers uploaded each month in the AOB section of the community news. And just in case you're not aware, you can find shows on the archive.org by going to, and there's a URL here which ends with HPR0840 for show 840. So the leading zeros are irrelevant. So there you go.
Excellent. And that had me thinking about, some topic that has been brought to our attention about bringing older shows to the attention of people, because we've been, there's 15 years of shows in there, and how do we, I don't know, what do we do, 15 years of shows, and I guess a lot of them are still valid, and Clacky mentioned that there was no, the community news show only goes back 10 years, since I started helping out, and before that we didn't have community news. So I don't know, should we release another feed starting at episode one of Today with a Techie and run it in parallel, and then do another community news show, but reviewing the shows from Today with a Techie the whole way up?
Wow. Yes.
Would that be of interest to hackers? That is the question.
That's a very good question. And would you like to volunteer for doing the other
community news? Yeah, exactly. It's another way of exposing shows, because I don't really want to put in old shows into the HPR feed. We may have done it once or twice. I think we did it in memory of we may have done it in the past on occasion, but it's not, you know, HPR is supposed to be new content for, and not rehashing old shows. So
it's a difficult one in as much as things do go out of date, and you know, I in the process of looking at adding tags and stuff, I came across one of the shows recently, which was I can't remember what it's called, a little bit of Python or something, is it? Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Those are quite interesting actually, but there was an interview with somebody in the Python world about certain libraries and stuff. And when you go looking, they have been effectively discarded. They vanished without trace, you know. So historically it's fascinating, but, you know, it's maybe you don't have enough time to spend on that sort of history. But on the other hand, listening to Mr. Gadgets, who was a prolific contributor for a while, and some of his history, because he goes way back, listening to some of his chat about his history in computing and what he's done and so forth, and his opinions on things, I find really fascinating. I do enjoy listening to them. So, you know, there's gems there. I'm sure other people who listen back in time to the old shows would have other suggestions in that regard. So,
yeah. So, I mean, where do you start? Do you go back and do all the BinRev Radio ones? And then if you're doing that, do you go back to the Radio Freak America, which is Lord D used to go back every year and re-listen to those. And some of them, like, really speak to what HPR is all about. They, you know, everything has changed and nothing has changed, you know, mm-hmm. all those years. Mm-hmm. So if there is somebody would you subscribe to a feed like that? Do we go back and do we include, well, we do include Today with Techie because this is the same project, but will we go back and include BinRev and include RFA? Start with RFA, BinRev, to David Techie, HPR, Infonomicon Computer Club, if we can still find them. And then review them once a month.
Yeah, yeah. All of interest, I'm sure, but yeah, but for different reasons than originally.
Yeah, exactly. But
quite fascinating.
Yes. Yes, Money Penny.
So just just to say, final point in the AOB, tags and summaries. I contributed some tags this past month, and Windigo, as usual, added some to the pool. And between us, we managed to add tags and summaries to 23 shows, which is quite good.
Very good.
And it must be spring or something like that. There are now 384 shows which need attention. And I decided to put that number in the notes just to bring it to people's attention. So we granted it was 500 or so long ago. So we're getting there.
An SQL query for that?
Actually, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Because then we could put a feed up, random HPR shows from that pool.
A daily of what's been tagged, you mean, or something like that?
What hasn't been tagged to start
with.
In the interest of going back and listening to older shows, yeah, I could put a feed up, says he, volunteering himself for work.
Here's some fun stuff that you might want to listen to. That
don't want to give everybody the same one, Dave.
No. There would be a collision.
Yeah, you would need to randomize it somehow.
Yeah, I think we need to think a little bit about this one, but I like the idea.
It's, okay. All righty. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
If this wasn't a controversial one, I don't know what was. I'm expecting lots of comments. Lots of comments.
I know.
All right, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker
Public
Radio.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.